Welcome tonight. As you see, I'm not Jim. Jim had a little cough last I heard, so he's at home, and they asked me to fill in. To me, it's always a privilege. I want to share something with you guys that I read. I think it was yesterday or the day before. I thought it was kind of cute. And it deals with children, and you never know what children are going to say in the church or whatever. So it's always kind of fun to call on a child to just see his perspective on any subject. Well, I read this article about a Catholic priest, and he decided to bring the kids up, and he wanted to talk to them a little bit. So all the kids came up front, and he was going to talk to them about his vestment. What the vestment is, you see those robes and stuff the priests would wear. And so they was talking to him about the vestments and everything that he wore, and would ask him questions. And he got to the point of the white collar, and he goes, "Do you guys see this white collar?" And the little kid goes, "Yeah." And they go, "Okay." He goes, "Do you know why we wear this?" And this kid raises his hand, and he goes, "Yes, why do we wear it?" He goes, "It keeps fleas and ticks away for 30 to 45 days. And oh my gosh, I just thought that was so hilarious. And that's why I love working in children's church. I just think it's so much fun. Some of the things that kids will tell you is just hilarious. So well, let's go ahead and open up in prayer, shall we? Father, we praise you and thank you, Father God, out of the mouth of babes, Father. Father, we thank you for the pastoral team. Father, we just lift up Jim and Kathy, Father, complete healing. We ask that you continue to strengthen them and give them wisdom and direction for the church. And we lift up all of the pastors here, Father God. We just pray that your hand be upon John Mark and Tracy and for all the work they do, and Jen and Adrian. Father, we just thank you for the strong team here, Father. And we ask that you continue to bless them and give them wisdom on the church, Father, and in your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, probably the biggest area that I see Christians fail daily is spending time with God. It's reading their words, praying. And I don't know how many times where I go up and I'll witness to somebody on the job not thinking they're saved. One, maybe it was their mouth or their attitude. And they say, "Well, I'm saved and I'm a Christian." And so a lot of times I'll follow up, "Do you read your Bible?" Yeah. And you'd be shocked how many Christians actually don't pick up their Bible and read it. And I remember when I was born again in 1987 in June, middle of June, I got born again. And by 1989, I decided nobody was going to pull the wool over my eyes. I was going to read it from cover to cover, and I kept doing it because I wanted to make sure that I knew the truth. And I think for us to know the truth, we need to spend time with God, and we need to read and pray and seek him, and worship is always a big part. And I think James gives us some simple applications of people, and it's the same way through all the letters to the churches, the pastoral letters and stuff. It just gives you a deeper insight of what God expects of us. And I think we fail ourselves mostly when we don't spend time with God. I see a lot of Christians that I knew for years and never seemed to grow. I've had Christians that have read the word a lot, and then all of a sudden they put it aside and they go, "Well, I read the thing a couple times." And I said, "Well, God will reveal more and more to you when you seek him more and more and more and more." And so one of the things Pastor said Sunday that I really enjoyed was, the most colorblind person should be a born-again Christian. And I have to agree with him. You know, there's really no racism in the house of God. There shouldn't be no racism. Whether the person's rich or poor or black or white, it shouldn't be. And I remember what I told my daughters when they got old enough and get married and stuff. And I said, "There's just two things I ask of you to look in a man." And they go, "What?" "That he's born again and loves Jesus, number one. And number two, that he has a job." And, you know, I seem to fail when I told them those things, but, you know, God's still in charge. So anyways, let's start off in chapter 5. I did bring my reading glass in, but they're in my truck. But I think I can, if I push it away far enough, I think I can read from here. So we're in chapter 5 of James, and he's trying to close out this letter that he wrote. And we know that James wrote to the Jewish believers. And we know that he had an extensive Jewish background. But this letter applies to all of us in the church because it is written to the body of Christ. And he said, now listen, you rich people, weep and wail because of your misery that is coming on you. Your wealth has rotten and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosions will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. Interesting word there, last days. Look, the wages you failed to pay the workers who move your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. You have lived on the earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourselves in the days of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the innocent one who was not opposing you. How many here like justice? Do you think we honestly get a fair jury when it becomes someone rich and famous to someone that's just an average? Do you think there's still corruption in the court system today? You see what I'm saying? So this, what people don't understand, this Bible applies as well today as it did when he wrote this thing. It applies to the church. And I look at it and I started laughing because I've had people I worked for when I had my own company not pay me. Just decided, nope, don't want to pay you. Or they'd pay me a partial. And I remember I'd get a little frustrated and I said, God, that's your hands because I pay my tithe. I'll let you to deal with that. And the funny, the weird part about all that is I had a guy that attended one of the bigger churches in the Springs, born again, could pick a guitar wonderfully, sing real well, and every time he'd shortchange me on the check. And I was like, that's interesting. So I started bidding his a little higher so I wouldn't lose as much when he, you know, and I finally got to the point that I didn't even want to deal with him, and I found a lot of guys that wouldn't even work for him because it's dishonesty. And then the church, we're called the body of Christ. And I've seen, believe it or not, people that say they're born again. I can't argue one way or another whether they were or not. But their God was actually money. And they wanted money more than anything. I've seen crooked dealings with people that call themselves born again. And I'm like, you know, you're really putting God in a bad light. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about wealth this evening, and God wants us to be wise in all of our handlings. But one of the things is, if we're focusing on our money, we got our eyes in the wrong place. Amen. And I think that's a problem a lot of people have gotten to with this prosperity preaching. When I hear of a certain ministers coming to one of the Springs, his church and stuff, I just shake my head. And I think what God wants us to do is to be wise in the way we handle our money, okay? And I can be honest with you, when I was young, I was really dumb in handling money. I had way too many charge cards. I was always in debt, frustrating. And then someone shared to me, it was actually my brother-in-law, shared me in Malachi about tithing. And I decided that, this was probably 1990s, so I was still really young in the Lord, but I decided I was going to start tithing because I told myself, if this Bible is real, then it will work. If it isn't real, then I can walk away and I don't have to worry about it. And at that time, I was so much in financial trouble, I even had them wanting my car back. It wasn't that nice of a car. So anyways, I started to tithe, and I learned some things through that God shared with me. And I'm just going to share a couple scriptures on you, because one of the things I see Christians doing, besides not reading their Bible, well, you don't read your Bible, then you have no knowledge of what God expects. And if you don't know what God expects, you can walk your whole life doing everything wrong and always shaking your head in frustration. Well, why, God, aren't you blessing me? And I'm not one that preaches prosperity preaching. I think it's a bad doctrine. I do not follow it. To me, the only ones that I see getting really wealth on it are the guys preaching it. I literally one night was flipping through the channels. Oh, shoot, it's about time COVID hit. And this guy was on TV, and he said, I was praying today, and you know, God was telling me the reason he blesses me is because of the way I take care of my mom and dad. And While I was praying, God said, there's a 2,000 out there of you out there that God told me you're going to send me $1,000. And I'm sitting there thinking, that's $200,000. Math ain't hard. And I'm sitting there, and he goes, and then God, when I was praying, God said, there's another 500 of you going to send me 500. By the time he was done, he was asking for about $400,000 for one show. And I was like, shame on you. Ironically, I haven't really seen him since. I don't know if he's been canceled or not. But I think you need to have a little wisdom of what the Word of God says on certain items. And I said, I think you better be careful on how you deal with your money. I know that through reading the Bible and a lot of areas that God showed me how to go ahead and manage my money a little better. And he showed me how to give. He taught me how to give. And I thank God for that because God's changed a lot of things in me. And one, if anybody knows debt, you know you're under a lot of pressure all the time. Yeah, you hate going to the mailbox. You don't want to open the mail. And we got to learn to do things God's way in order for us to get closer to God. Because disobedience is going to keep you farther and farther away from God. And the question is, how close do we want to be to God? So I just want to share a couple scriptures with you. And I'm going to follow up on these scriptures because we're not the ones to be greedy. And if you have a lot of money, use it to bless others. And one of those scriptures I'm going to share tonight is found in Luke chapter 6, verse 38. And he writes it like this. And he says, given it will be given unto you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For the with the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And what I tell people all the time is you can't outgive God. And I'm not up here asking for one dime. I don't really care, but what I try to tell people, and I share this on the job site also with Christians everywhere, is because I want God to set the body free. I've been under the stress of coming out of a family of addictions. Thank God he pulled, tobacco was probably my only addiction that he pulled out of me. But there's a lot of things that he helped me out of. And I can honestly say I didn't get myself out of this stuff, but God got me out of, you know, all kinds of trouble that I did. And I, you know, growing up in an unsaved household, there was violence, alcohol, you know, all pornography. There was all kinds of stuff running rampant that was easy for kids to get a hold of. So God will pull me out of that if I'm seeking God. So if we're going to follow in the will of God, then some of these things we got to do his way. When he said, given, it'd be given unto you, God pays attention. It's one of the things he tells me. But what I tell people, you know, sometimes you ought to pay attention where you're giving. You know, and I'll be honest with you, I've given to some bad ministries before. I shouldn't say ministries, some bad places, because they they really weren't ministries as I look at it now. But there's another one found in Galatians, and this is another one that I share a lot with people, and it's Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. It says, do not be deceived. All right, so how are we not deceived? He said, God cannot be mocked. A man reaps whatever he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Kind of like we've seen in James. The man that's thinking about himself, that's crooked and doing things his way and his eyes are on him, he's going to reap destruction. We're not to pray for someone's destruction. We're to pray for their salvation. But these are things we sow. And I tell people all the time, your action, your deeds, your words, your giving, these are all seeds that you have. So if you're throwing foul words, those aren't good seeds. If you're yelling at people, expect to be yelled at. God's not mocked. God says, look, I'm not mocked. A man reaps whatever he sows. So whatever you're spewing out of your mouth, whatever you're giving, all of that comes back to you. And then he goes on. To please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. So if you have a need in the church, I believe it should be the church, and that's us, to help other believers. But what I tell people, don't take your credit card out, go get money, give to somebody when you don't have the money to give. Does that make sense? But the problem is, we don't want to do things God's way. So one thing is, we cannot let money control us. We should be controlling our money. Charging is not controlling your money. They call them want ads for a reason. I can go on a Hot Rod magazine and want everything in that magazine. I like cars. I could. But Gaylene said, you know what? I noticed you haven't bought a lot of Hot Rod parts. I said, I only buy them when I'm doing overtime. And I don't buy that much of them. I keep myself in check. If a car breaks down, of course, I'll buy the part to fix the car. But what we got to do is we got to start doing things God's way. And one of them is if I tell people, bloom where you're planted. So if you believe this church is where God's called you to, then I believe you should be paying tithes to the church. I say that, I'm not getting a dime out of this. So don't look at me saying, well, he's greedy. I'm not. I don't get a dime out of this. Matter of fact, when I was associate pastor, I didn't take money from the church then either. And what I would tell people, it sets you free. And when you give, God sees that. And that blesses God. And what I tell people, if you notice, he said, whatever you sow, let's think of a farmer. A farmer sows early. The harvest doesn't come till the fall, correct? So what's going on there? There's seed, there's time, and then there's a harvest. Well, God determines what that harvest is. And I know at some times that I gave for years and never think about it, didn't care. I don't give to expect God to do anything for me. But I always noticed that when something unexpected came up that I couldn't pay for, all of a sudden I'd get a check or something that would pay for that. And I used to always tell myself, how interesting. Because I knew God was taking care of my finances. He was looking over me. So what I tell people, our problem is, you see the stock market and you want to sell, 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 sell. That's what most people do. Or buy, 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 buy. But what I tell people is, don't get on the world's economy. Get on God's economy. Because the world's going to let you down time and time and time again. You know, everybody wants a house. Do you know America charges more interest on a house than any other country in the world? And we call it the greatest country on earth. Well, I do believe it's better than all the other countries, personally. So, but what I tell people is, if you believe this is your church, learn to tithe. Why? Because then you're not focusing just your money. Matter of fact, this principle, before me and Gaylene got married, I shared with her. And I said, I don't want us to be unequally yoked. I came out of having a lot of financial problems, and what I had to learn to do was give God my financial problems. And when I did, it took years to correct some of the stuff. I'm not kidding you. But once he got me out of it, I learned the lesson that charge cards don't work for me. Matter of fact, I got probably two in my pocket, and there's nothing on them. And I don't like charging. I do every now and then just to say, okay, I charge something. But I always make sure it's a small item, and I pay attention. But what we got to do is, if you're always worried about your money, your focus isn't on God. And if you're crooked in your taxes, your focus isn't on God. Tax season around the corner, and if I do a side job, believe it or not, I'll say, hey, wait, we got to add this to it because I did do a side job this year, and we'll put it on there, have the taxes out. Why? Because I want to please God. And God said one of the problems we're having is the rich oppress, and they do all kinds of crooked things, and they think they're getting away with it, but they're not. And my heart is that he repents, turns to God, and we don't have to worry about it. and yeah, it was really shocking. I knew a guy that was, well, I didn't know him. The guy was lived as a pauper. He had a house, but in one bathroom, the cold worked, and the other bathroom, the heat worked, so he said, that's good enough. Well, the guy worked the oil rigs in Texas, and you would think he was flat broke. You really would. He couldn't read or write or nothing. When he passed away, they found out he had $900,000 in the bank. But he just lived as a pauper. And I thought it was kind of sad that you'd have only hot and cold. I know Gaylene would say, hey, fix it. So what I'm trying to tell you is don't let money control you. Give it to God. You know, give your problems to God. Draw close to God. And he'll give you wisdom to get out of some of that. You know, I remember Gaylene said years ago when she got her bachelor's degree in accounting, she said, you know, I noticed my student loan I was never catching up on. And she goes, I got this 0% credit card. And she goes, I took it, brought it all over. She goes, I paid it off in no time flat. I go, that's smart. But some of the things we get ourselves in trouble is because we're trying to please the flesh, you know. Do I need a brand new car? Could I do with a used one? Do I really need new cowboy boots? I like cowboy boots too. I only have about 3 pairs, so I don't go overboard on my cowboy boots, but I could easily buy me 100 pair. But that's feeding my flesh, so I try to say, nope, can't do that either. So what we got to do is, as Christians, one, we should never think of ourselves better than somebody else, whether we have a little more money than them or not, because at the end, we all have the same thing. If you have Jesus, if you don't have Jesus, then you have a lot less than everybody else. So one of the things we got to, if we're going to focus in on this, we got to understand that God wants our attention on him, in his word, praying, studying, and seeking him. And worship goes right along with all of that. But he's writing this letter because there's a reason. Do you notice when he read this, he was writing this letter to Jewish believers? And he's talking about rich oppressors. It's a message not sound real good in the church. It's easier for me to look at you and say, God's going to bless you. Just send me all your money. But that's not how it works. You see what I'm saying? The truth is, if we're going to grow in God, then we got to do things God's way and not our way. And it's something we struggle with the flesh all the time. Because, you know, my flesh likes nice things. Anybody else have that problem? Now, years ago I went through a divorce. Didn't want to, but it happened. But one of the, I don't know if it was a gift or a curse that God gave my other wife was, she could walk in a store and pick out the most expensive thing in that store every time. I want that washer and dryer. Can we go with that one? She'd walk out, I like that refrigerator. And I go, I don't know if this is a gift or a curse, but I don't know how she did, but she always seemed to figure out what was most. And you know what? Sometimes you got to deal with a used washer and dryer. I bought a used washer and dryer. You know, it's too many times we want the nice of the nicest stuff, and we don't really need the nicest stuff. You know, I remember when my dryer went out, and I went out and I bought a cheap new dryer. You know, I didn't need the new stuff. And why? I think some of that God gives us wisdom when we're seeking him, not to get in these financial stuff that weigh us down. It doesn't weigh nobody else down. It's just like sin. My sin ain't going to wear you down, and your sin ain't going to wear me down. Does that make sense? But a lot of the things that I've done in my life, I used to have a fear of going into crowds because as a cowboy growing up, I got jumped a lot. I always felt good afterwards because I thought, well, they didn't want to fight me one-on-one, so at least I feel good about that. But as I went home all bloody and hurting, it wasn't any fun. But I had a fear of that. I remember one day I walk in this crowd, and I'm chatting with these guys as I walk through. And as I get to the other side, and it was a rough area. This was out in Maryland. And I thought, wow, God, that didn't faze me one bit. But years ago, I'd have went around that crowd. So the closer we draw to God, the more that he will reveal himself to us to make us into his image. And then things in our life start going peaceful. Does that make sense? And I, you know, I had a guy one day, he says, you don't drink? I go, nope. He goes, you don't party? I go, nope. He goes, that sounds like a boring life. I go, you know what? I got a peaceful, quiet life. And I enjoy my peaceful, quiet life. I don't have cops knocking at my door. I'm not at a jail cell. I'm not in a bar getting beat up. I go, I really enjoy my nice, peaceful life. But I didn't get there on my own. I got there by seeking God and learning when I read something that, given to be given unto you, all right? Seed time of harvest. If I was a farmer, I would be silly to plant corn and expect wheat. Wouldn't that be silly? So if we're planting foul mouth, should we think we're going to get someone lifting us up on the other side of it? So many things I tell people, your words, did God create the heavens and the earth by his hands, or did he speak it into existence? He spoke the word, right? He spoke it into existence. Our words are powerful. We should always try to encourage one another. We should always build one another up. And that's what we, you know. Of course, joking has no place in the church. It doesn't. But you can look at somebody, and in a couple words, you can either make them feel great, like you look beautiful tonight, or you can devastate them by saying just the opposite. And us as Christians have to learn to walk in God's image. And one of the things my ex-wife taught me that I'll never forget, which was a tremendous blessing for me, because I was trying every day to be a better husband, a better dad. And she went to a ladies' conference, and she said something to me. And this is years after I was a Christian, so I understood a lot of these principles. But she said, take your words and think of them like a bank account. When you lift me up or lift somebody up and you compliment them and you speak to them well, it's like a deposit. But if you put them down, it's a withdrawal that you can never get back. And I've always used that principles with all my daughters and the grandbabies. I don't ever say anything that's harmful or negative. Because why? I want to build them up. So I want to encourage them. You know, the grandkids, I always call them Superman. And I remember one day, Leon came up to me. He said, Grandpa, I go, what, baby? And he's actually not related to me, but they all call me Grandpa. And he goes, why do you call me Superman? And I go, because you're super to me. About 2 weeks later, he comes in and he goes, hello, Superman. I thought, wow, how precious. So what I'm trying to tell you is when he gives us these practical statements, he expects us to use them. You know, and it's like little girls. I will never ever say anything harsh to any girl because I know what the harmful effect can be. So most of you girls know me in here, and you probably, even my wife, she said, you're the kindest guy I ever met. I wasn't always this way. I was always really kind to women, but not so much to men. So, but anyways, there are certain things I had to learn not to do. And if we do it God's way, then we find out that what James is talking there and there is pretty simple to do. Love one another. Who cares what color skin they are? I've had, my best man at my first wedding was Tae Kyo Wong. I wasn't even saved then. That's Korean. Guy next to him, Bo Zaritz, he was Japanese. Guy next to him, Chuck, he was Hispanic. Guy next to him was French-German. I didn't care. These were my friends. But I remember my dad always said, don't judge a man by his color. You know? And I thought, oh, okay. And I had friends in every race and stuff. So that stuff never really bothered me. And but then later in life, I found out one of my friends was pretty well racist, and I quit hanging around him. I wasn't even born again. I just thought, yeah, no, it's wrong. If we're made in God's image, it doesn't matter what color we are. It doesn't matter if we're rich or poor. If we're made in God's image, we are made in God's image. And look at every person you talk to, whether they're serving God or not, whose image are they made in? So always choose your words wisely. But conduct your affairs according to the word, and then God can help you according to his word. And I don't know why this was on my heart today about talking about tithing, but I tell people, it releases you and puts the focus, you're more your focus on God. And now I just thank God that I can give the tithe and it doesn't bother me a bit. You know, does things still happen to me? Yeah. Tuesday I get up, my car won't start, I need a new $200 battery. I'm like, great. Thank you, Father, I have the money, I can buy it. And I don't have to put it on the card. Does that make sense? So there's a lot of things that we don't pay attention. And I think sometimes God's up there and says, Dwayne, I want you to see how you react if this happens. And I always try to say, thank you. It's It's not always easy. It's not always fun. But if we got the right attitude, and that's what God's trying to see. He's trying to see our attitude. Because that comes from the heart, does it not? God wants your heart. And when your heart's in the right place, everything else is going to fall in pretty well. But if we don't study and we don't read, we don't know what he wants. And then he goes on, he says, be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and the spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience. Ooh, we're examples, right? Interesting word he said there. Examples. You are an example at your workplace. Good or bad is up to you. You're still an example. You're an example in your home. Good or bad, that is up to you. You're still an example. Remember what Jim said Sunday? They'll always do what you do. My dad chewed tobacco. Guess what I did? I chewed tobacco for about 15 years until God spoke to me one day and said, you don't need it no more. I was like, thank you. Threw it away, never had the desire. But why? Because I was trying to draw close to God. And then one day, for some odd reason, he said, I was going to buy another can. He goes, you don't need that no more. I was like, hallelujah. I didn't want it no more. But every time I tried to quit, I failed and failed and failed. Then one day God says, you don't need it. And he took the desire of that tobacco away from me. I was like, wow, I was just so enthused of it. But we are examples. Good or bad's up to us. If we call ourselves Christians, let me suggest to you or tell you, you better be a good one. I can tell you, everywhere I look, when someone finds out I'm a pastor, they're trying to see if they'll hear a foul mouth word. And I remember being in the union hall one day after 10 years being in the union, and one of the guys goes, you ever hear Dwayne cuss? And Marty looked at him and said, no, and I've worked with him all through this time. And there's times where people did some really things that I shook my head, and I walked away and had to pray. Come back about 15 minutes and said, okay, we'll work through this. And it's not always easy not to, control your emotions. But what I try to tell people is your emotions. Either you got control over your emotions or your emotions have control over you. I used to be very temperamental and moody, and I'd fight at a drop of a hat. And then I learned that, my emotions had more control over me than I did. And my youngest son used to fight all the time. I mean, I had cops at the door all the time. And he was just angry all the time. And now, after going through court and jail and the prison, he finally said, Dad, I had enough. He goes, I wish I'd have listened to you. And now he's actually a real good kid. He doesn't wear his emotions on his sleeve. I said, learn from your dad. Do you ever see me get out of hand? He goes, Dad, I've never seen you angry. I control my emotions. Is there sometimes I want to choke somebody? Yes, I walk away and pray. Come back and say, okay, now I can give you a hug. I don't want to choke you so much right now. But just like you, I deal with stuff in the flesh too. And what I find out, if I'm closer to God, I'm least likely to sin. If I'm farther away from this word and prayer and stuff, I'm more likely to sin. So where do we want to be? We want to draw near. We want to pick up our word and be closer to God. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Did any of the prophets never see hardship? Some of them had a real hard time. Elijah, Jezebel, and Ahab wanted to kill him regularly. And they killed quite a few of the other prophets. And, I look at some of the prophets. Isaiah, according to history, was torn between two horses. Does anybody think that's okay? No. Job, look at the suffering Job went through. So when I hear ministers, and I have heard this, if you're sick, it's because you don't have enough faith. You know how many times I have literally heard that? And I'm like, if you're preaching that, you're not paying attention to the rest of the Word of God. Amen. I can pull Scripture, tell you it'd say anything I wanted to say, but I'd be lying. All right? Just because someone's sick or ill doesn't mean they've fallen away from God or they're in sin or they're having, you know. It blows my mind some of the things people will say on national TV, and I shake my head. Because if you don't know the Word, it's easy to line up with some of this stuff. Do you think I don't want to hear that God's going to rain blessings down on me that I can't contain? That I'll leave out here and God will give me the winning lotto numbers? But I told God a long time ago, don't you give me more money that will separate me from you. That's not what I want. I want to be close to God above all things. This world's passing. I'm going to walk on gold someday, so you think I care? You know, well, everybody's going to start out with zero. You know, you never see a U-Haul heading to a graveyard. Above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear. Not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. All you need to say is a simple yes or no. Otherwise, you will be condemned. Interesting. They had a bad habit way back in the day, swearing in the name of their gods and stuff like that, or God, and trying to prove a point. We can see how bad it's got because we can see people using the Lord's name in vain all the time, right? Swear should never come out. You know, one of the things is tame the tongue. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If, now, this is after that, let's say they're okay. But if they happen, he's saying, he goes, if they have sinned, maybe by chance they have, all right? He didn't say they did. He said if, okay? So let's keep it in context. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayers of a righteous person is powerful and effective. This is actually where the Catholic Church get the little booth where you go tell the priest. But what's not so funny is their confession actually came back, according to history, back when the king of Britain would say, hey, let me know what's going on and I'll pay you off. So if someone said, you know, I almost thought about rebelling about the king would have him arrested because the priest told the king. Some of the corrupt stuff that I read sometimes in the church, I'm like, is there a fear of God in anyone anymore? How could you do that? You know, it's, gosh. But if we have sinned, you know, let's pray. If you need me to pray with you, I will pray with you. I don't have a problem with that. Jim will pray. A lot of people will pray with you. But let's pray. And to me, that's the highlight of this is pray. Let's pray. If we're having problems, pray. If we're sick, pray. If you're doing good, rejoice. And I love rejoicing, so that to me is my favorite thing to do. Elijah was a human being. Imagine that. Elijah went up in a whirlwind, and he's calling him a human being, just like me and you. Even as we are, he prayed earnestly that it did not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. This is where I believe what happened to Israel to make it a desert. Because after, I think it's 2.5 years, any seed left in the ground that does not germinate because of water dies. So when Elijah prayed this, I believe when he prayed for 3.5 years, if you remember, when they entered the promised land, it had milk and honey. It was a fruitful land. Well, what happened? I believe this happened. God said, all right, you don't want to follow me. You want to do things your own? So be it. The rain's not coming. God is in control of everything that moves around this planet, whether we know it or not. People are worried about climate change. Let's pray for rain. Let's pray for snow. Elijah did. Did God hear Elijah? It's funny now because I read an article about 4 years ago now on Israel, and Israel's made a new, what is that thing called? We used to have one on the job. Anyways, it can take water out of the air, and anyways, it produces water, and they can recycle 90% of their water, and it's done so well. Saudi Arabia, it's like a $7 billion, what is it called? Osmosis? Yeah, they call it osmosis, but it's got a bigger name. But anyways, do you know Israel now produces 2/3 of the fruit for Europe? Interesting, huh? A little bit of water. But the key to this is Elijah prayed. He prayed, don't rain, don't rain, don't rain, don't rain. Why? Because God told him to. God said, pray for your enemies. Do we pray for them? Tell you, when I was a young Christian, yeah, I prayed for him. Eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. Can I tell you something? When I went through my divorce, that was my same prayer, and it was a bad prayer. And as I got the healing going, I said, Father, don't let her lose salvation. Let her walk with you again closely. And that's my heart, is that my ex-wife will walk closely with God once again. At one time, she was just on fire. And now she doesn't even attend church. My heart's desire is that that would come back. And that should be our prayer when people hurt us is, Father, not my will be done, your will be done. And your will is that none would be lost. Reach them. And that should be our heart's desire, is for nobody to be lost. Let's continue. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth, and someone should bring that person back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sin. For a Christian, the big thing we need to learn more than anything is to love one another. That is the most important thing that I can leave you here tonight, is love one another. Forgive quickly. Don't let money control you. Focus on God. And it doesn't matter what circumstance you'll find yourself in, he can help you get through that circumstance. But what, like I told the guy years ago, he shot into a crowd, gang against gang, shot a guy in the leg, and he got born again. And he really loved the Lord. And before he went to court, you know, he was seeking God with all of his heart. And I said, God loves you, but you did commit a crime. And God is a just God. So whatever happens, keep seeking God. And he ended up going to prison for like 11 years. He was supposed to, he served 11 out of 23, and they let him out, good behavior and all that. And but he still committed a crime. So if you overcharge and you got a lot, expect God to let you go through the pains of getting yourself out of debt. Does that make sense? Doesn't mean he's not with you as you walk through. You're going to walk through trials and tribulations and problems. But I promise you, God said he would never leave you nor forsake you. So if you're feeling hurt or alone, he's still with you. Shall we pray? Father, we just praise you and thank you, Father. Father, you have been so kind to us, Father, not repaying what our sins deserve, Father. Father, but giving your Son, Father, to take on our iniquities. Father, we thank you so much that you loved us first, Father. And Father, I ask that you bless my brothers and sisters as they go out, Father. Give them wisdom and direction, Father, in the everyday life, Father God. We ask you all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.